Would you please open your Bibles to John in the New Testament, the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 1. The title of today's sermon is A Revolutionary Beginning. And I'll be reading from John 1, 1 through 5. We've got it up there on the screen if you want to follow along as well. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light that shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Holy God, You have shined light into our darkness. You have come as the Word. You have ordered all things according to Your will. Lord, help us as we receive that Word, as we attempt to understand what John is writing about here, and as we worship You in this way by looking into Your Word and Your Scriptures, we thank You, Lord. Bless this time together. In Your name we pray. Amen. So the sermon title today is called A Revolutionary Beginning. John, our author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wants us to begin here. At the very beginning. He wants to start His gospel in the most profound and exciting way possible. He's about to tell a story about something pretty unique, pretty exciting. Written in 90 AD, John now reflects back. He looks back at 40 years, 50 years, 60 years of trying to understand the event of the Word. The Word came into being, and in the beginning was that Word. I titled the sermon today, Revolutionary Beginning, not to talk about the American Revolution. No, we're going farther back than that revolutionary beginning. And we're talking about a different kind of revolution altogether. This week I want to focus on the aspect of these first five verses that has to do with beginnings. In each one of these verses, we can see aspects of beginnings. Not only does the word beginning repeat, aspects of the idea of beginnings, of first things, repeat throughout this passage. And you only get so many shots at John 1 sermons. So I'm going to take two tries at this, because there is so much, and there's so much richness in what John is saying in this, what scholars call the prologue of John. So next week, we're going to talk about what John means by the Word. In the beginning was the Word. But I want to focus this week on in the beginning. This is the two Greek words, en arche. So John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By beginning with the words, in the beginning, John wants to set our priorities straight. Okay? John wants to remind us of who takes first priority in the history of the world. Who's first? Who takes priority? These words, N-R-K, in the beginning, John wants to set our priorities straight. John wants us to be reminded. And here's the deal about priorities. Change your priorities, change your life. If you change your priorities, you'll change your life. A staff meeting Saturday, we were talking about how the Lord was working in our lives to help us change our priorities closer aligned to God's Word and to God's self. Making our lives about God. The key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule coming up this fall, but to schedule your priorities. What are your priorities? What are my priorities? As a staff, what are our priorities? In opening his gospel this way, John wants to set the stage for the story by explaining to us the beginning. He wants us to focus our attention on the first things by reminding us who has first priority in the universe. In this gospel, John wants to make all of life, all of creation, come under the domain of God. God who made the heavens and the earth. God whose spirit hovered over the face of the deep. God who spoke and said, "Let there be light." John's first priority and our first priority as a church and as people who follow God is God and God's will. God is in the beginning, and someone else was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning. Verse 2, He, the Word, was with God in the beginning. Through Him, through that Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing that was made has been made. And so what we see is how, where we see it and how we see it, when we see it, when we look out into creation, birds, fish, elephants, sunset, sunrises, all prioritized under that Word. That Word was first in the mind of God as God spoke it. This was not chaos. This was order being spoken into the world. There was darkness, and John says, in that Word was life. Look at verse 4. In the Word was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was darkness, and by the words of God that go forth, the stars are flung into the sky by the Word of God, the very Word of God. John sets our priorities straight. John reminds us that God's priority in making the creation is the order to which all things will fall into place. All things will fall into place under this Word. And now here we are, fall launch. We start off with a clean slate, some of us. A new school year, maybe, for some of you. Maybe a new job or a new season you're entering upon. If you're a grandparent, the grandkids have a new schedule. And if you're a parent, you're trying to figure out, and Heather and I have been trying to figure out, does Asher play trombone? Or what is he going to do with Tuesday afternoon? You know, he wants to play trombone. He doesn't got very long arms, though. We're a little worried about that. We are trying to make the best decisions in order to keep God as the priority in our life, in our schedule. We're not scheduling things that are on the schedule. We are prioritizing our schedule. Some of you are teachers. You're starting a new school year off. We have at the beginning of these seasons each a time to prioritize for ourselves what is most important. It should reflect in our schedule, should it not? Should it not, church? When we think about ministry opportunities and we think about PTA and we think about all the various different things that God would have us do, we need to be in prayer. Because our priorities will set our agenda. If you want to change your life, change your priorities. John capitalizes on this idea of beginnings. John capitalizes on this beginning because the word beginnings not only means things that are ordered and prioritized in a certain way. John also wants to say that in his gospel that the origin of something is extremely important. He's going back to the origins of things. So we talked about priorities. Now we're talking about origins. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John starts with the beginning, not the beginning of God, but the beginning of you and me, the beginning of all things. God has no beginning. It's you and I that have a beginning. Creation has an origin, a beginning. You, me, everyone, we all have an origin. Your origin is your beginnings, where you are from. And John asserts that from the outset is that all origins begin with God. As Aristotle said, God is the prime mover of all history. He set it into motion and there it goes. He is the prime mover. It all originates with God. Verse 2, again, He, the Word, was in the beginning with God, was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made and nothing that was made has been made. The Word not only has priority because God, the Word, was with God in the beginning, Some of you have started a business, or you've started a ministry here at church, or you've been an entrepreneur in some ways. You go back to the origin of that thing, whatever it was. If you are one of those people who began that organization, you know it inside and out. You know why it was started. You know what came of it. I'm thinking of Jan up there. He started the Unlimited Clothing Closet. How many years ago? You didn't start it, but you were around. You were there in the beginning. You were with the founding of that, right? You helped with it. Okay, you didn't start it, but that was a ministry that happened in order to meet a need amongst women who needed professional clothing who were going back into work and during the 90s. On Thursday, we had 34 families go through those clothing closets and take things that they needed to take. And so we're just really thankful. But when you go back to the origins of something, you know why it exists, right? Some of you have started those businesses. As Minnesotans, we're proud of our origins, right? We're proud of where we're from. I'm from Minnesota. I was born here. And, you know, that's something special. If you talk about Minnesota, you say, we have all these lakes. And I was trying to explain to people in Tennessee, yeah, lakes, I've seen a lake. Did you know that there is only one naturally made lake in Tennessee? One naturally formed lake, and it was formed by a freak earthquake. What an inferior state. No, I'm just kidding. They have a lot of other reservoirs and things that they've created out of lakes. And I was trying to explain, no, in Minnesota, we have thousands of lakes. And until somebody actually comes to Minnesota, drives around, and every few miles is a new body of water, will they actually get it, right? But we're proud of our origins, right? God wants to teach us about our origins in this book. Jesus said to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of this book, unless you are born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And another way to say that is, unless you change your origin, you think you're from this earth, you think you were just born out of your mother's womb and you're living life, breathing in and out in some physical way. Jesus says, unless you're born from above, you cannot taste the kingdom of God. This book is about origins. You can trust making God your first priority, the first thing we talked about, because your origin is from God. When you make your origin from God, you make your priorities stick. God has designed you and made you. God prioritized and ordered the cells in your body. God made you beautiful. God made you perfect, wonderful. God stitched you, the psalmist says, in God's womb. In your mother's womb, sorry. God has a womb in Deuteronomy. We would not talk about that scripture, but God does have a womb. Not making God your first priority. Let's talk about that. Not making God first priority is to rebel against every fiber of your created being. It's to rebel. We get used to being unhappy. It's because we're rebelling often. And we just need to submit and say, God, help me to reprioritize my life. And even if we are unhappy, even if we go through periods and times of sadness or we don't know why, the church is here. We are here to come around you, to love on you, to show you God's mercy and God's grace. Lord, help me reorient my life because all I feel right now is darkness. Maybe that's you. Remember that the Word was life, and that light is in you too. That Word went forth into darkness. That Word was life. That Word spoke into you and to me. It animated you and it animates me, making us alive together. And that light, that in verse 5, that light that shines in the darkness has not overcome it, not understood it, not comprehended it, is another translation. Darkness cannot comprehend light. Light will win every time. So as we prioritize ourselves, our lives, our fall, our ministry plans, we look to that light, who is Jesus. third thing, meant by a revolutionary beginning when John means to say that by beginnings that word has authority. So again, to kind of go back to the same analogy of starting something, if you started something or created something, you have implicit authority over that thing. Right? If you made something, you have crafted and designed it, you have authority over that thing. So by John going back to the beginning, he's saying the word that is life, the word that is light, has all authority. And by prioritizing our lives under the life and light of God, we share in the power and authority of God. John says, we are children of God. So, slide number 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Let me talk, to get a picture of authority, God's authority, okay? Remember, God spoke and there was light. Light was created. In the instant that God spoke, creation into being. And what you see here is Canis Majoris, the largest star, one of the largest stars that we've been able to see in our galaxy. And now what you have here is the circumference of Canis Majoris, right there. The biggest star, one of the biggest stars in our galaxy. And that little pixel, that's not Earth. That's not the sun far away. That's the scale of the sun next to Canis Majoris. God spoke Canis Majoris into being. Maybe you've seen pictures of the Earth next to the sun. The Earth is just the same. It's like the same, right? John wants to give us some perspective, I think, when he talks about the authority of the Word. In one sense, this makes us feel extremely small, right? But in another breath, the same God that commanded this star, Canis Majoris, to come into Earth, commanded you and me, brought you and me into this world, commanded and sends us into this world as his authoritative agents to do good, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. This is the same God that calls us sons and daughters of God. That word was in the beginning with God. And that word carries the authority and power of God because it is God. God cannot be separated from the word. The word is equivocation with God, is equal to God. God's word is God. God's godness is spoken in the word. And we're going to get to what John means by the word, okay? So you hang with me till next week and we'll talk about that. But for now, our text says, in the beginning was the Word. God cannot be separated from the Word. And God's words are true. Whatever God does, whatever God says, and we as human beings share this potentiality of language. If we put God first, if we recognize that we are God's children, if we walk in the light and that life, then we walk in that authority and power that comes from God. Can we command the stars to be put into place? That's God's domain. But Jesus said, you have been given all authority. I have been given all authority. Now go in my name, right? Through him all things were made, it says in verse 3. Without him nothing that has been made, nothing that was made has been made. God's word accomplished all this and much more because verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And there's the authority. Here's the authority. And the darkness has not overcome it. There's authority. So when we put our priorities right, when we remember our origin, when we remember where we came from, that we are children of God, we walk in the authority of God. Let me say that again. When we put our priorities right, when we remember where we come from, we walk in the authority of God. This authority and power is not born from us, but from God. Its origin comes from God. When we speak a word and we do it, we fulfill our word. When we do that, we walk in the light. But when we lie, when we cheat, when we say one thing and mean another, we fall short of being sons and daughters of God. We fall short of that which God has designed for us. In the priority of heaven, in the consciousness of the Word, in the order given at creation, sin is an impossibility when we walk in that way. We'll think about that more next week. But God cannot falter on His word, because God's word cannot falter. We think about beginnings, as we head into a time of communion. 130 years ago, Elam Swedish Baptist Church began ministry. They began ministry of the table, began ministry of baptism. They began ministry not knowing what the future would hold. But here we are, so many years later, worshiping together, baptizing, loving, caring for one another, coming around one another. Jesus knew that we would forget our origin. Jesus knew that we would get our priorities out of whack sometimes. Jesus knew that we wouldn't walk in the authority of God, we would walk in the authority of men sometimes and try to do things our own way, with our own power. So He said, do this thing in remembrance of Me, so that you remember what your priorities are, so that you remember where you come from, so that you remember what great authority has been given to you as a follower of Mine.